God is mighty, and we praise his matchless name, for he is worthy. Let us worship and adore him as we call upon his name. God is holy, God is mighty, we will praise thee, loving Jesus. With thy blood on Calvary's cross thou hast redeemed us, and the blood which thou hast shed for us demands our fullest love. We will praise thee, loving Jesus. Holy Spirit, cleanse and fill us. Purge our hearts from every sin that hath beset us. We need power to obey thy word and follow close to thee. Holy Spirit, cleanse and fill us.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want you to turn in your Bibles this morning to the Song of Solomon. Song of Solomon. I'm going to read in the beginning just one verse. That is in the second chapter, and it's the eighth verse. It's an expression that comes from the bride of Christ. Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 8. The voice of my beloved. Behold, he comes leaping upon the mountains, skipping upon the hills. The bride, and that's what this book is all about, this interaction between the bride and the bridegroom. But here, the bride of Christ recognizes a particular voice There are lots of voices. But you recognize a particular voice, and it is the voice of my beloved. I know Christ is the Father's well-beloved Son. But I know also He's spoken of as the bride's beloved. He's our beloved. As a matter of fact, in chapter 5 and verse 2, there's a similar expression. She says, "I sleep, but my heart waketh." What can wake the heart of God's people? It is the voice of my beloved that knocketh, saying, "Open to me, my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled, for my head is filled with dew, and my locks with the drops of the night." There's one thing that is clear in these verses, and that is, it's obvious in these texts that it's His voice that's recognized. There's something distinctive about His voice. His voice is recognized, and it's not only recognized, it's delighted in. You hear some voices and you want to run the other way. Or you hear some voice and you say, "Oh no, not them again." But this voice delights the bride. It is the voice, she says, of my beloved. He's my beloved. I love that, what it says in the Song of Solomon here in chapter 6 and verse 3, when she says, "I am my beloved's and he is mine. I belong to him and he belongs to me." And just the hearing of his voice makes my heart leap. And you see, the bride here is the same thing. There are many names given to the Lord's people. His children, His people, His elect, His bride, His sheep. But the same thing is said about them. If you look in John chapter 10, and this is the bridegroom talking here himself. This is Christ referring to this beloved people as his sheep. Look at what he says in verse 27. He says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." My sheep hear my voice. The bride hears the voice of her beloved. But when do they hear this voice? They hear this voice when God gives them spiritual life, when He gives them the ears of faith. That's what the Bible says, that faith is the gift of God. And it's this gift by which we hear in this spiritual sense, because we are spiritually dead, unable to hear, unwilling to hear, unwanting to hear, but He gives us spiritual ears. That's what the Bible says. The hearing ear is of the Lord. And that's why when he quickens us, when he speaks to us by his Spirit and Word, that's why such places as the seven churches in the Revelation, he says this. He says, "He that hath an ear, let him hear." Well, don't most people have ears? Yeah, they have physical ears, but they don't have spiritual ears. So he says, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith." Not what men are saying, but let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. That's another name for this people, the church. And it's seven times he says this there in the Revelation. And they hear when he comes to them like he did that infant child in the book of Ezekiel who's dead and cast out in a field. And he says to her, "Live." That's when they hear. Or he speaks to them and they say, like he said to Lazarus when he lay dead in the tomb, "Lazarus, come forth." He couldn't do that, but he did. Because the power was in the voice speaking, "Lazarus, come forth." Turn over to John chapter 5 and look at what it says. John chapter 5 and verse 24. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on me and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation but is passed from death unto life." If he hears, and if he believes, then he has life. He has everlasting life. And then verse 25, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the voice is coming, and now is." That's a wonderful thing there. The hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. The hour is coming, Christ said, and it is right now that the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they'll live. They'll live. But many are so confused and so blinded and so ill taught as to how this speaking takes place. How does the bridegroom, how does the shepherd, how does this son speak? He speaks by his Spirit, which is called the Spirit of Christ at times. He speaks, and he speaks concerning the things of Christ. Wherever the Spirit of God is working, it won't be talk about the Spirit of God. It'll be talking about the things of Jesus Christ. He'll take the things of mine and show them to you. He'll speak to you with them. It's what the Spirit saith to the churches. And he speaks to us. He speaks to this bride. He speaks to these sheep. He speaks to this church, the Spirit does, through the written Word of God. He speaks to them through the gospel of Jesus Christ and him crucified. You can watch out and beware of those, especially preachers, who stand up and claim an immediate revelation. "The Lord just spoke to me." No. Or, "The Lord said to me last night." And the funny thing is in that, and it's not really funny at all, But the weird thing is, the terrible thing is, that when they usually say something, they say something that is directly contradictory to what God says in His Word. That's how we try the spirits to see if they are of God. That's what the Bereans did. They searched the Scriptures to see if what Paul said was true. God speaks, the Spirit of God speaks through His Word. Look over in John chapter 8. In John chapter 8, look at what it says beginning in verse 43. Christ is talking to these religious people. He's talking to these Pharisees and such oftentimes. And He says to them in verse 43 of John 8, "Why do you not understand My speech? Even because you cannot hear My word." And great part of that cannot is you will not. But you cannot. You have not the ability. You have not the ear. He says, "You are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth," Christ said, "I speak the truth, you believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me?" Look at this next verse. "He that is of God heareth God's words." Now there's a great distinction here between the children of God and the children of the devil. And that distinction is made manifest in this: "He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because you're not of God." Not loved of God. Not chosen of God. Not redeemed of God. And especially not born of God. If you are in your lifetime, sometime you'll hear the voice of the Beloved. He will cross your path with the gospel. He will cross your path with someone speaking that gospel in truth. He will speak to you through that gospel, and you will hear. And you'll be like the bride was in this Song of Solomon chapter 2. It'll be a voice that has to be recognized. It'll have to be a voice that is delighted in. It'll have to be a voice that you have never heard before. And this is the evidence that God has spoken to you. Somebody says, "Well, you're... life will be changed." Well, yes, it will, but that's not the evidence. Or they say you'll quit some of your bad habits, or you'll do this, or you'll do that. But, you know, in religion, people are deceived into thinking that they know God and that they've heard from God, and they quit all these things. They do all these things, but He has not spoken to them. You say, "How do you know, preacher?" Because the evidence that God has spoken to an individual, to a sinner is that they have been given faith to believe the Word of God. That doesn't mean they know all the Word of God. I remember in my own experience when I feel like the Lord began to speak to me, what He did in my heart was He gave me a reverence for His Word. And He began to speak to me through the Holy Scriptures. And I had been in religion all my life. I'd been a moral person all my life. But I did not hear what this message of the Bible was saying. I didn't hear God speak. When He spoke to me, I found out it's all about Him. Not about me. Not about what to do. Not about a moral compass. Not about a plan for your life. Not about, as I'm so sick of hearing, about a relationship with God. God's people already have a relationship to Him. That's why He speaks to them. And it's the voice of love. They believe the Word of God. They hear the Word of God. They believe the Word of God above all and in spite of all, and to be persecuted by all. And this hearing here is the same as believing. He that is of God heareth God's words. Here you got this preacher and this pope and this individual. And so many preachers are just like little popes. They think that they are the vicar of Christ. They speak ex cathedra. They speak as God. But they don't speak as God unless they speak the Word of God. The Word of God is precious. This the Word that He said will not return unto Him void. And this hearing here is believing. Ye therefore hear them not, because you are not of God. You don't believe them because you don't hear them spoken by the Spirit of God. You just hear your father, the devil, and his lies. Turn back over to John chapter 10. In John chapter 10 again, in verse 25, Jesus says to him this. He says, I told you, and ye believe not. Now that's not even to say the evidence of all the works that He did. Miraculous works, mighty works. They ate of the food, they partook of the miracle, but they did not believe on Him because they did not hear Him. They did not believe Him. But look at what it says in verse 26. But ye believe not, because you are not of My sheep, as I said unto you. How do you know that? Because My sheep hear My voice. And I know them. I love them. And they follow Me. The believing sheep of Christ, those who have been quickened to life, they will not hear the voice of strangers. Look back over at John 10 and verse 4. Well, we'll say verse 3. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out, And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep will follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. You see, when the Lord opens our eyes and opens our heart and gives us faith to believe and spiritual witness in us to the truth of God's Word, we'll hear with our natural ear the voice of many strangers, but we will not hear them to delight in them, to believe them, to trust in what they say. We'll hear the voice of the shepherd. And this is another obvious thing. Those who are following the strangers, they're not believers. You say, who are you to judge? Well, the Bible says judge righteous judgment. And the only way that we can judge righteous judgment is to judge based on what the Scriptures say, based on what the Lord Jesus Christ said, based on what we see in the Gospel. And we know if they're not following this Word, they've never heard the voice of the shepherd. They cannot call the bridegroom their beloved. They don't love him because they don't love his voice. Oh, they say, I love Jesus. But let's just preach Jesus. Let's don't preach any of that doctrine stuff. Let's just all agree. Let's just all get along if we can. We're all going the same way. And that works fine until you begin to tell them about the true Christ. And then it doesn't matter what they profess. It doesn't matter how nice they are. It doesn't matter how good to you they've been. They are obviously strangers because they will not hear. They cannot hear the voice of our beloved. And so that always brings about not only a distinction in who they are, but it always brings about a division among men from the people of God and the people of the devil, from the sheep and the goats. As a matter of fact, that's exactly what Christ prayed that the Father would do in John 17. Look over in John 17. Do you know what the word sanctify really means? It means separate. Separate. And he says in John 17, verse 17, of this high priestly prayer that he's praying for those that the Father has given him out of the world. He says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. What is the difference in those who are really believers and those who are not? What is the difference between the true believer and the false professor? It is simply the Word of God, the Gospel of God, what they believe about God, it has set them apart as it's preached. To one it's a savor of life unto life. To the other it's a savor of death unto death. It's a divider. It's a distinguisher. Look at Mark chapter 8 and verse 38. The words of God. That's the voice of God by the Spirit of God. Mark 8, verse 38. Whosoever that shall be, therefore, shall be ashamed of me. What does that say? And of my words. There's all these people out there in the world who love Jesus. How dare you question my love for Christ? They love Jesus. They say they love to come to church. They love to be involved in the activities. They love to give. They love to do. And all these things. But they are ashamed of His words. So Christ says, whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and my words. You can't separate Christ from His words. Whosoever shall be ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. They'll say, like they say in Matthew chapter 7, we were not ashamed of your name. We preached in your name. We did many wonderful works in your name. We cast out devils in your name. We know you. No, depart from me, ye that work iniquity, I never knew you. And the great evidence of that was in that you were ashamed of my words. That is, those who do not hear, those who do not believe, those who do not follow the voice of Jesus Christ do not hear God. They've never heard from God. He's never spoken unto them. Because God said, this is my beloved Son, hear ye him. You see, that's why he's called the Logos, the Word. But more, they that hear not the prophets, they that hear not the apostles, they that hear not true gospel preachers, God's never spoken to them. Because that's the means that He uses. That's the means that what He gave by the prophets and what He gave by the apostles as they're proclaimed and declared by those He has called and sent, if they speak the things of Christ, it's just like God speaking them. It's just like Christ Himself speaking them. He said, I'm going to send you out, and he that heareth you, here's me. You can see quite easily if a man is speaking for Christ by just simply checking the Holy Scriptures. He that heareth you, heareth me, and he that despiseth you, despiseth me, and he that despiseth me, despiseth him that sent me. Sounds like the chain of command in the Marine Corps. The general gives the message. The colonel takes the message. and on down the ladder to the private, if he spoke what the general said, you better believe it. And you see, those who hear the word of God, they don't cherry pick it, but they believe the whole revelation of Scripture. And not only do they hear it and believe it, they seek to be where it's preached. They follow the Lamb. And they identify Him with Him in all His words. Some people say, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. Nope. God said it, that settles it, whether you believe it or not. But if you believe it, if you really believe it, so as to follow the Christ that is set forth there, you're His bride. If that comes to you, when all is said in this book about God, Richard sung, He's holy. I was sitting there just rejoicing in that. He's holy. He's just. He's good. He's merciful. He's sovereign. He does everything after the counsel of His will. He's in charge. He's God over all. You can't say enough of what the Bible says about God to keep me from rejoicing in it. When I hear the voice speak about how God He is, how He's just and how He's righteous, when I hear men say what must be said about the state and condition and depravity of man, you cannot preach me wretched enough, convict me enough, because whatever you say, I know I'm worse. You call me a sinner. Most people don't like that. I do. Because it says Christ came into the world to save sinners. You say, well, you're just an ungodly man. Well, He died for the ungodly. Every wretched title you can give me is good news to me, because somewhere in this book there was a sinner like that and God showed mercy to it. I rejoice in it. I rejoice to hear about the perfections and the glory of Christ. I rejoice to hear about Christ, the eternal Son. Some people don't like to refer to Him as that, but when we read in Isaiah, it says that a child was born, but the Son was given. He's the eternal Son of God. He's God made manifest in the flesh. He is the Redeemer. He is the Savior. He's the only name given under heaven whereby we must be saved. You cannot ascribe enough glory to Him in all of salvation to make me do anything but be happy. I rejoice to hear about God's electing grace. And yes, I do rejoice in believing what He says about His predestinated His people to be conformed to the image of His Son. Yes, I do believe He absolutely, completely determined, predetermined all things for His glory and the salvation of His people. It can't be otherwise. I rejoice how He saves sinners, pouring out His precious blood. I rejoice when it says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but by His mercy He saved us. As a matter of fact, I rejoice when I first heard Tim James say that God has saved us and called us, and it became so clear into my mind that that's what the gospel is about. God telling us what He's done in Christ. He saved us, and He's told us about it. And when that news comes flooding in on us, when we hear the voice of mercy, when we find out that He's made into us righteousness and wisdom and sanctification and redemption, when we learn that we're not redeemed by any human worth or work, when we hear that Christ laid down His life for the sheep and not for the goats, when we hear about His mighty calling and His powerful Spirit giving life to sinners, when we hear about Him preserving them. I love to hear what the Bible says about the law. It says Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth, to everyone that hears. By the law, nobody's going to be justified. And by the law, nobody's going to be improved either. In short, when we hear Christ's voice, when He speaks to us from that noble pulpit, and He cries, "It is finished." Can you hear it? Has He ever spoke that to your heart? And you're over here still worrying about this and being lost and not doing enough and all this stuff, and all these preachers come along and they put you to doing, put you to fretting, put you to being anxious and all. It's because you have not heard the voice of My Beloved. It's finished. You are complete in Him. Nothing can be added to perfection. Nothing can be added to the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. Hear Him. He said, "I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish." Well, preacher so-and-so said you can be lost even though you've been saved. I don't care what he said. He does not have the authority of heaven. He does not have the words of Christ. God's never spoken to him. It's finished. "I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of My hand." It's a gift. I've done all the work. We'll say, "Well, preacher, what are we supposed to do?" Rest. Delight like the bride does just to hear that again. You drove 2 hours or more just to hear that again. I want to hear it over and over again. It's finished. The work's done. We sing that chorus once in a while. We hadn't sung it in a long time. "Did you hear what Jesus said to me? They're all taken away. They're all taken away. Your sins are pardoned and you are free. They're all taken away." That's the good news of the gospel. He just says Christ crucified. He doesn't say Christ crucified plus your decision, plus your works, plus your goodness, plus your own righteousness. Not even your faith. There are a lot of things that men are saying. But if I don't hear it in this book, it's got me in a lot of trouble. But if I don't hear this book saying something about Christ in some mysterious, marvelous, understandable way, being made a sinner, if I don't hear it, I don't believe it. And I don't see it. They can talk about him, a man having 2-3 natures all they want to. But I only see one in this book, the depraved one. And against that flesh is the Spirit of God. When they talk about how works after conversion progressively make us holy and fit for heaven, I say, God never said that. If he said it, show me where he said it. You owe it to me. You owe it to me to prove to me from the Word of God if something is true, but if God didn't speak it plainly so a poor sinner like me can understand it, he must not have said it. I know this. What we call the preponderance of Scripture is this, that Christ was the Lamb without spot and without blemish. There are things that men say that God never said. That God in the person of my beloved never said. That his prophets never said. That his apostles never said. And that no true gospel preacher I ever heard say it. Because if it's not in this book, it can't be said. He didn't say it. I was talking with a lady a while back, and she said, well, I've just got to believe it if it's in the Bible. I said, hold it right there. That's the problem. It's not in the Bible. If it's in the Bible, you can open your Bible and show it to me. Because I'm acquainted with the author. I've heard the author speak. I've read 40 years in this book. And I'm sure one thing. If God said it, he made it plain. Plain. Clear, so plain that even a fool or a wayfaring man should not err in it. And in every situation of life, in every trial, in every fall, in every season of coldness and indifference, it's always been not what men say, but what the voice of my beloved said that brought me back, that brought me through. Oh, I appreciate all the encouragement. But the comfort in my afflictions, as the psalmist said, is the word, the voice of my beloved. And if you notice that picture there in the Song of Solomon, chapter 2 and verse 8, the picture is that she hears the voice of her beloved, and he's coming across the mountains, and he's coming running. He's crossing every obstacle to get to her because he loves her. Paul, in that sinking ship, found this comfort. He said, "Sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me." Well, how do you know that? What's your evidence that you're going to heaven? What's your evidence that you're a child of God? What's your evidence? I just have one. And that's, I believe that it shall be as he told me. Not if I do this or that, but because of what Christ has done and what he did on that cross, that work of righteousness that he performed. This word, this written word spoken to my heart by the Spirit of truth is the voice of my beloved. And this is what he said to me by the Apostle Paul. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. In love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved." Oh, is it no wonder we love to hear his voice? "In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace." We're all legalists by nature. We're wanting to do. We're thinking we have done. And when we get under the burden of that, it is so wonderful to hear the voice of our beloved telling us, reminding us, comforting us, telling us that salvation is all of grace and it's all in Christ. It's in our beloved. What a wonderful voice that is. My prayer is that he'll speak it to your heart, that it'll speak it again to my heart. again and again and again. Our Father, we give you thanks this morning. We praise you. Help us to believe you, to hear you. Help us to weigh everything that we hear from men on the scales of your word. Help us to know that all you say in your word glorifies you, glorifies Christ, makes plain that salvation is in him. We pray that you would speak to your bride. Speak to your sheep. Speak by your Spirit to the church. And give us ears to hear it, hearts to believe it. For we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Yeah.